don't need no education.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Good morning and welcome to Education Nation. I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's a privilege to be with you again this Saturday morning. And I am joined, of course, once again by our co-host and executive producer of Education Nation, Mark Durkin.
And a wonderful good morning to you again,
and
Rebecca.
I know. You know, you and I are coming up on almost a year of doing shows together, right?
We're only a little bit more of a week away from October.
I know,
and
I can't
started
believe
in November.
So you started in November. That's what I thought. Oh my goodness, time flies.
Yes, it does.
Well, we have a very interesting topic today, as I think all of our topics are interesting, of course. Mm-hmm. Last week, we enjoyed having Dina Hinkle in and talking about college counseling and all of that. And we're kind of taking a shift here to handwriting. And when we think of technological advancements, we think of cell phones and their plans that allow for unlimited texting. And we also think of countless social media platforms in which ideas and the debates that follow can be communicated immediately through various technological devices.
Right. You mentioned phones, Rebecca, but also computers and iPads that have the capabilities really to facilitate every form of communication today. But at what price? That's the question I think we need to really ask. Mm-hmm. You know, for decades, longhand script, which is otherwise known as cursive handwriting, was an integral part of American education. Handwriting served many learning functions in the development of students.
Yes. And today, just 14 states require cursive handwriting. And in 2016, Louisiana and Alabama passed laws mandating cursive proficiency in public schools, which it's wonderful to start seeing that maybe there is going to be a little bit of a comeback. And last fall, the 1.1 million student New York City schools, the nation's largest public school system, encouraged the teaching of cursive to students in the third grade. So joining us in studio this morning to discuss the benefits of handwriting and its developmental attributes in students is Liberty Classical Academy's Sherilee Marsh. And Sherilee is a learning specialist for students with dyslexia and helps students with their reading at Liberty. She has joined us extensively in the past. I hope many of our listeners are going to recognize your name, a familiar household name from Education Nation, to discuss how students can thrive in the classroom with learning disabilities. Sherilee has a master's degree in special education. Sherilee, thanks for joining us again in Education Nation.
Thank you for having me.
So, yes, and you are always very informative, so we're glad to have you in. So let's dig right in. Across the world, the writing performance of school-aged children has become a source of considerable concern. What do you see, Sherilee, as some of the leading causes to this decline in performance and usage across America?
I have seen a decline in the amount of writing that students are just doing in general with their hands. And Common Core has standards for kindergarten and first grade and working on, even though it might just be handwriting with print, but after first grade, the shift moves to keyboarding proficiency.
Yes.
That's part of the issue. In speaking about cursive in general, when it comes to writing, I think it becomes almost a catch-22, because if people aren't writing in cursive, then kids aren't familiar with cursive, so it becomes this, I can't read it, so I can't write it, I can't read it, I can't write it, and they just have dropped it almost altogether.
Right, right, which is really, as we're going to be talking about, it's certainly a detriment to the students. And I know we're not going to get into this little detail, but I do want to make the point that even the difference between printing and cursive is significant. So even though Common Core recommends proficiency in hand print for kindergarten and first grade, as you pointed out, that's not cursive. And from a cognitive standpoint, there's a big difference in the motor usage of the brain and just how it works between print and cursive. So there's a huge benefit of cursive over print. But we're going to be talking more about cursive versus mm-hmm. technology on the show today. So
correct.
That's something else, though, for people to take note of. Mm-hmm. So texting, emailing, and typing on an iPad and cell phone keyboards have become the go-to methods for just about every form of communication today. What are some of the skill sets children miss out on when faster, quote-unquote, and convenience, quote-unquote, threatens to rule communication structures?
Mm-hmm. It's a really, really good question. It's hard because we live in a very fast-paced society, mm-hmm. and everyone wants to get things done faster. And technology is convenient. You can write something on your phone, and it can show up if you're in the cloud, and it can show up on your computer, it can show up on your iPad, it can show up in the whole family's network. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very, very convenient. And it's fast. However, research is starting to show that the benefit of doing things at a slower pace, which means writing out longhand, even though people are calling it old-fashioned, actually allows the brain to kind of slow down and process the information at a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which really does make sense when you stop and just right. give it a few seconds thought that mm-hmm. you know, you can do mindless typing and you really haven't got your brain engaged, but mm-hmm. you can't be mindless when you're handwriting something.
Right.
I would think too, when you're using cursive, I mean, you're thinking more critically about what words you're going to use. I mean, you can do it so quick over the computer and over the iPad and texting, but when you're writing something out, like a handwritten letter to someone, you're going to be very thoughtful about what you're writing. You're going to really choose your words carefully mm-hmm. of what you're writing as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the benefits of handwriting involves effective short and long-term memory recall. This is a phrase that's really common in the long handwriting discussion. Could you explain for our listeners why this is the case?
I think that's what I'm exactly we're getting at that last question. Yeah. And handwriting actually activates a part of the brain that is involved in thinking and in working memory. And just like you're saying, Mark, when you're thinking and you're processing what you're writing down as you're writing it, if you're activating that part of your brain, it's going to get stored for long term as well. And if you remember when we talked about different methods of working with students who have dyslexia, that working memory can be something that's hard for a lot of the students with dyslexia. And we use something called multisensory instruction, which if you think of all your senses at once, you've got your hands doing things, your mouth doing things, your eyes doing things, your ears doing things.
Right.
All of that is to solidify learning. And with handwriting, it's the same thing. If you're using your muscle memory with writing, it's getting stored in that long-term memory, mm-hmm. which is really important.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, there's also another concept out there known as spatial relations mm-hmm. when writing. Could you talk about that a
mm-hmm.
little bit, too?
Right. Spatial, just imagine, it's kind of interesting, but if you think about when you go to a museum, and you look at a piece of art, you have emotions that come up with it. You visually see something. It might trigger a memory of, oh, I know this piece. I know this. All of those things going on. And that's all part of that effect of your spatial seeing, hearing. Yeah. And that's the connection there then with handwriting and taking that time to write and that muscle memory. It's all triggering different parts of your brain. That's interesting.
Yeah, that is really.
Yeah. Well, you know, unlike technology and communication, handwriting increases writers' exposure to critical thinking. We mentioned that in terms of, you know, choosing which words you're going to use as you're writing things out. What are some of the ways that critical thinking skills are developed when writing by hand as opposed to typing on a keyboard?
Mm-hmm. This is very interesting, and I'm going to take you to the idea of what goes on in our minds when we're taking notes.
Yeah.
I think it's actually related to note-taking. I know as a college student, I was a very fast writer, and I could write down verbatim everything that the professor would say. And in doing a little research, that's not always the most beneficial to just write down everything verbatim, unless you're planning to go back and actually take those thoughts and synthesize them and actually work through them. And the study that was done in Germany by two researchers, Mueller and Oppenheimer, they actually took a university and they compared, they had three different studies going on, and they were comparing students that were taking notes on the computer versus those doing handwriting. Mm-hmm. to take their notes. And what they found after three different studies was that those who took notes longhand and then went back and reviewed their notes did better overall on all the three studies. Mm-hmm. Even those that wrote down everything verbatim, they didn't miss a beat. They can write everything down. They didn't go back and synthesize them and actually, you know, go through them and write out their thoughts and maybe outline things differently. Mm-hmm. They were the strongest students. So,
And you know, really, that would apply to typing too. Then, so if students are going to sort of ignore this advice that because that's just sort of the norm today, one of the best ways for them to then really be able to gain from their notes is to go back and reread them, summarize them, add to them, because that's what really engages the thinking process.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And where the students who were able to type verbatim, you actually are able to probably type faster at this stage.
Sure.
I don't know if you go back decades of people that was the truth, but today students can type verbatim what they're hearing. Mm-hmm. But if they're not taking the time to go back, it's almost a lost cause.
Yeah, yeah.
So
It's really an important detail.
Well, we're going to take a short time out here on Education Nation. When we come back, we're going to discuss how a lack of handwriting can make it really difficult to really understand the meaning of words and the context in which those words are used. And we also want to talk about some ways that those that are working with learning disabilities, how they can learn writing benefits and to make the most of the writing opportunities that are before them. So we'll talk about these issues once we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We don't need no thought control. Well, welcome back to Education Nation. We are here with Sherilee Marsh, learning specialist from Liberty Classical Academy, discussing the importance of handwriting and how it compares to other types of writing, whether that be technology, you know, using the typewritten, or as she pointed out, even being able to write really fast. Mm-hmm. So we're really looking at the importance of how cursive writing tends to cause us to slow down and really think through the material that we're writing. So could you explain to us, Sherilee, how a lack of handwriting makes it more difficult to gain meaning from words and context from words and phrases?
Right. I really like this question because it's going to allow me to give you a big picture of what's going on in the brains of students as they're learning to both read and write, actually, because they are interrelated. If you can think back to the early days of when you first learned your letters, you probably started out with like letters in your name or letters that you saw frequently on signs, and kids start to recognize letters, and letters have names, but we write those letters on paper representing sound, and those are called graphemes, so how we write the sounds that we hear. And when children and students are first learning their letters, this is really important that they are learning both to name their letters, the sounds of those letters, but also how we actually go to write those letters. And many children, precocious children, learn to draw their letters. They can picture what a letter looks like, and they start to represent, you know, scribbles on the paper represent what writing looks like. My son, whose name is Ben, when he would write his name, three little letters, he could do the capital B, he could do the E, and he could do the N. But in his picture of the E was just a bunch of horizontal lines. He didn't know that there were three. He had a bunch of them in that uppercase letter. And then the N was always backwards. But he started to make that representation of the letters in his name meant something, and he could write them on paper. So kids, when they're first learning to write, have a lot going on because it's a name, it's a sound, and then we write it on paper.
Mm-hmm. A motor skill.
A motor skill, correct. So it's really important for teachers, and the earlier the better, to be watching what kids are doing and how they go to form their letters, and that they're actually learning to form them correctly, not just draw them, because muscle memory is our strongest memory. And so when it comes to handwriting, it's one of the hardest things to reverse. So once a child has learned to form some letters, if they're not forming them correctly, I mean, once they're doing it pretty proficiently, it's hard to change that muscle memory, including the grip. Okay, so there's so many layers to it. All right. So now
the gripping of the pencil, I want to just
sorry. Yep. Yes, yes. That how they're holding on to that pencil is hard to change, as well as how they start to form those letters. So it's complicated, and you want to teach the strokes to making the letters in an organized way. So, for example, the letter C can turn into a lowercase A, can turn into a lowercase G, it can turn into an O, it can turn into a Q. Mm-hmm. Just like when you go to make the lowercase I, where you start on the middle line and you pull down, you have that pull down stroke for the letter T, also for the beginning of a lowercase N, and a lowercase M, and a lowercase R. So if teachers can be facilitating the stroke at the same time as they're learning the letters and how they identify them, you get the biggest bang for your buck. And it's just, it's so beautiful when you see it happening. Okay, so this is what's really interesting. Reading and learning to read is almost the flip side of a coin, is learning to write and learning to spell. And you have to be explicitly teaching kids how to write, because it's complicated. To simply write the letter A is one thing, but to be able to take the sound that A makes when it's a short sound, A, and then put a T after it, now we're forming a word, and that word has meaning, and that word is at. Mm-hmm. It's great once kids are starting to do that, but the most complicated thing we do then is write sentences and turn sentences into paragraphs. And when you ask about gaining meaning from words or context from words and phrases, there's just layer upon layer in this web of what is actually going on in the brain. Mm-hmm. And that muscle memory that's taking place when they're forming those letters is solidifying. Oh, that's a C and it says K, and this is how I write it. Or this is an A and it's an A, and this is how I write it. And putting them together, it's amazing how our brains
are wired. Really adding the kinesthetic piece, which it's really interesting because, as you pointed out, with Common Core, it's technology or computer-based skills that are part of the standards beginning in second grade. So they're losing out on that whole part that's helping them learn how to read, spell, and, well, I guess read and spell, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And it's interesting because I was actually talking to a woman who is, I believe, down from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And she taught in the public schools for many, many years, and she served as a principal. And she said that in their district recently, they've gone to all computer-based reading. And the kids are not learning to read. She said the district got rid of all the books for these little kids. And they're not learning. She said this, they're not being successful. They are not learning how to read. And she was begging the superintendent of the schools, please put the books back in the schools and get rid of these computers. And they're probably not computers. They're probably iPads or whatever at that age group. But the point is that what you just said, that the actual formation of the letter is helping them also learn the sound, which is also helping them learn to sound out the letters in combination. Like you say, it is all intermingled. It's all interrelated. And when you take one piece of that out, you're really putting the child at a disadvantage.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
I like this analogy, too. My friend Arlene Sunday uses it. But learning to ride a bike is something that most people eventually learn to do if they're capable. And once you've learned to ride a bike, you can put your bike away for a couple years and pull it out again and hop on that bike and go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm working with students, I'm going to tap into that muscle memory, which is what actually is happening with any sort of biking, or whether it be knitting, if you learn to knit and then later you pick it up, or play the piano. Writing is related to that. And so when I'm utilizing writing to solidifying the skills of spelling, and they're related to reading, but it's all working together, I'm tapping into that part of the brain that's really strong, and that's why that's so important.
Very interesting. And I know it's very distinctly different from just typing. You know, some people might say, well, with their typing, they're still moving their fingers, there's still some motor, but it's not connected to the actual letter. And that's
exactly
the
right.
difference. And that's the reason why it's not as productive for the child. Interesting. Let's see. I know we have so many questions for you. I hope we have enough time to get through them all.
Okay.
Earlier this spring, we did have a chance to discuss with you the learning disability of dyslexia. And we not only identified what it is, but we mentioned it has no bearing on a child's intelligence.
Correct.
We discussed ways in which we can help children thrive with the condition. What listeners may not know is that cursive handwriting can combat dyslexia. Can you explain for our listeners how cursive writing benefits those with this disability?
It's that slowing down thing, first of all. Cursive, while at first can be tedious, every single letter starts on the line. I'm sorry, lowercase letter. Mm-hmm. So that bottom line is consistent, where with print, some start in the middle, some start at the top, some start at like the, if you're picturing a clock, start at the 1 or 2 o'clock, like in making the letter C. But with cursive, it's totally consistent. That doesn't mean that kids with dyslexia might not still make reversals with cursive, because I do see some kids that still do it, but I have seen that it's less. Because the cursive B is made very differently than the cursive, did I say B? Mm-hmm. B is made differently from the cursive D, where in print, visually, they look very similar. So I have seen that that is a benefit to kids with dyslexia to use the cursive. And what's most important, though, is that they have to learn the print letters first, because our books are written with print, and kids have to be able to identify the print letters and use those print letters first. But once that's taking place and there's a fluency there, they're able to identify them and write them correctly and read them, then moving into cursive is appropriate. And it's appropriate. It depends on where the child is in development, but I start in as early as first grade with cursive writing.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Is there any connection? I mean, if they're able to, say, master some letters in print maybe better than what they thought they might be able to do. I mean, does that even help their ability to do cursive more if they're even more successful on the print side first?
It is, and especially if you're explicitly teaching the formation of the print letters.
Okay.
'Cause if you can picture the letter C that's printed, the cursive letter C is very much the same. And in many cases, they're very similar. And so there's just a few that are kind of quirky, like the letter R is a little bit different. The letter F is a little bit different. But you can talk about, and I do, I talk through how they're forming the letters. And just like I taught that letter C, and then that lowercase a, the lowercase g, the lowercase q, I can do the same thing with cursive. And they pick it up really quickly if you just stick with the patterns.
Sure. Well, while there's some success there, obviously, with cursive for students that are dealing with dyslexia, handwriting can be a great source of frustration for many children with the attention deficit disorder, or otherwise more commonly known as ADD. Despite the struggles and maybe the apprehension that many parents and students with ADD have, there are a handful of good ways for teachers to help improve handwriting skills of these students. And I went ahead and wrote some tips down here that I thought maybe we could talk about, and I can kind of just touch on them and allow you to comment after if you'd like. The first point being, instead of having a child copy answers onto another page, you can permit them to write directly on the page or test booklet.
I agree. For a child with attention deficit to be able to focus in on the most important things and kind of pick your battles with what they have to write, especially if they have a paper to write. But if this is just simply note, you know, copying notes or copying an answer to something, to allow them to do that will eliminate that frustration.
Okay. We touched on this second point a little earlier in the program, experimenting with a variety of different pencil grips.
There are many of them out there, and the earlier the better to help a child to just get the right grip with their fingers. And we call it a pincer grip, but basically it's a tripod grip with the thumb, the first finger, and the middle finger, and you pinch and you hold it. That's the correct way to hold a pencil. But there are different grips to help kids hold that pencil in the right way. And if you just Google pencil grips, there are oodles of them. In fact, there are some pencils that are just formed already to fit right in your hand to help help students. So,
I didn't know that. That's great. How about this third point, visual cues, example, like a starting dot and numbered arrows, and that these serve as guides to form letters correctly?
There are lots of different programs out there to teach cursive writing or print writing, Handwriting Without Tears. There's oodles of them. Sunday System has a whole program. But, you know, you're starting on the one and you just follow it. But what's really important with many students is to actually give them first, a multisensory where you're using your fingers. So if you use your first pointer finger and your middle finger and you have them on something that has a texture like a sandpaper, and you get that memory, that muscle memory and of the formation of the letters, it often transfers to the paper as well. So that's really cool.
Okay. How about the significance for a clipboard to anchor papers?
There's a lot of different ideas out there when it comes to writing, but really you want to start teaching kids to write when things are upright, so like at a whiteboard, to start with teaching the formation of letters. Hmm. And gradually you're getting it to, like, say, a music stand.
Yes.
And really that's probably the best. A lot of students want to have their paper at an angle, so as they're writing, they're moving. You want to be moving away from your body. And a lot of kids, I'll see, put the paper in front of them with the point right at their belly button, the bottom left corner, yes, to get that angle. But a clipboard, if they want to have it upright or even on their lap with a knee, it really depends on each student.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about allowing an upper grade student to print instead of writing cursive if it's easier and faster?
I support that, especially if a child hadn't learned cursive earlier on, and if they have a fluency, which is really important with writing. You want to be writing your thoughts quickly because you'll get more done, and that takes time.
Okay.
While cursive is the preferred method, and I'll support that completely, if a child is a lot older and it's just frustrating, or if they're not able to learn that and it feels like they're going backwards, it's okay.
Okay. And this last point here, taping a strip or a chart of alphabet letters, whether mm-hmm. manuscript or cursive, mm-hmm. taping it on the child's desk as a reference for letter formation, where you can draw directional arrows on the letters mm-hmm. that the child finds confusing or difficult to write?
Yep. And I'm going to say that to become a better writer, you have to do writing. And so practice. And more practice. And that's just like with riding a bike, with practicing piano, you're going to get better the more you do. While writing can be frustrating for a student with dysgraphia, they will get better with writing.
Okay.
So if you want to be a better writer, do more writing. and eventually to work away from that, but to have that
okay.
until the muscle memory is in there is really important.
Okay. Well, we just have about a minute left. I just mm-hmm. want to ask this last question.
Sure.
It's no secret, especially in light of a lot of the technological accommodations, longhand can be a workout. And another benefit of handwriting is that it keeps the brain sharp as people age. So could you explain how handwriting is a good cognitive exercise for baby boomers, specifically as they age?
Yeah. I just found a blog the other day. Dustin Wax is a professor, and he was talking about it. But he was talking about how when we are writing, the brain, it's interesting, but it's almost like you're tricking the brain when you write something down that you're actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a mini rehearsal for doing it. I thought that was really a nice way to do it. But he likened it to like an athlete who visualizes what he's mm-hmm. doing and how that actually makes them maybe do their, whatever their sport is, better.
Right.
It's kind of the same idea. But yeah, keep that brain active. We talked about it already, that spatial
yes.
reasoning and all that's going on when mm-hmm. you're writing. So,
well, and think of how many times if you maybe write yourself a list, but you leave it at home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you get to the grocery store and you can usually remember pretty much everything that was on that list if you hand wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that to be mm-hmm. true over and over again. So mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to have to put away my computer and my phone and start bringing out my pad of paper, I guess.
Those pencils, yeah.
I know.
I love Post-its.
Yes. Well, and I do too. I am actually very much of a paper person. I like it, but I will admit that I spend a lot more time writing on my phone now than I used to, and I find that it is harder for me to remember things. So
that stylus is cool.
Yeah.
Being able to write, it's going
yeah.
to bring the two worlds together.
Thank you so much, Shirley. We appreciate it. And join us again next week on Education Nation.
Thank you.